the emotion of the game early, I felt. I thought that we did a nice job of handling that. Took us a little bit. I thought Terrence really settled us down with the stretch and our defense. And we had a sequence where we had 7 or 8 straight stops in that time frame. That got us back in it. I thought that Marcus handled his return back to the state in a way that was unique. Most of the time, those don't go that way. But in front of friends and family, did it against an elite defender all night long in Tyler Wall, who I have so much respect for. But, you know, I thought offensively, we settled down after we got out of the first few minutes. And I thought Terrence did a terrific job on AJ, kind of limiting his 4 of 12, didn't get off a 3. So it was nice game on the defensive side for us. And then, you know, offensively, we just kind of found our way. So excited for the win and beat a very, very good team that's going to have an opportunity to make a deep run in the tournament.
Remember when Wisconsin used to beat Illinois? It's been a long, long time. At least it feels like that. 7 in a row for the Illini as they secure a 71-83 win over the Badgers on Saturday there at the Kohl Center. Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Dan Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Toss. We're going to talk all about that. Talk about a huge matchup looming tomorrow here in Champaign. It is the home finale for the Illini, senior night, against the number 2 Purdue Boilermakers. The game of the year, pretty much circled all year long, is finally upon us. But man, a big one by getting that quad 1 on the road to kick off March against Wisconsin. Marcus Damask goes crazy, 31 points, quite the homecoming for him. And let's talk all about that, fellas.
I remember losing 15 straight to Wisconsin so well, Derek, that it's probably the one time, and I mean this, in all of my years on Twitter, it's probably the one time that I drew the absolute angst of Illini fans. And I remember sitting in my house in Philo after they lost a 15th straight, I believe it was 15, and I tweeted something out. I don't want to say it was vicious. It wasn't Lovie Smith vicious, but it was a pretty good knock on the program and the idea that you cannot beat a Wisconsin Badgers team 15 once out of 15 times. And boy, did I draw the ire from the scope of these kids try hard. Well, I tried hard tweeting that, and I felt like I did a good job with it. You know,
so do washing machines.
Right. From the scope of that to maybe a couple agreed with me, but I'll never forget that day because I'm not one of those guys. You know, I've always tried to keep people as friends. I'm not one of those that wants to draw a lot of angst on Twitter, and I'll never forget that day. But that was a lonely day to sit there and think, we cannot beat the Wisconsin Badgers. And now all of a sudden, Brad Underwood has shifted that. And I know he shifted a few things with this program, a la Michigan and some others that we can kind of go over. But yeah, that win was big in the sense that Wisconsin was controlling a lot of that game for a lot of the first half. And then all of a sudden, Illinois jumped back into the control or jumped into control. And even though Wisconsin stayed close for a bit, Illinois always had an answer. And it was fun to watch. And that's the kind of style of game I like to see this late in the season when March rolls around, to be able to not panic and then be able to put a finishing touch on a team. And certainly Illinois did that Saturday.
Yeah, Illinois gets hit with that opening wave, 12-0 run for Wisconsin to make it 14-5, and a lot of emotion in the building for good reason with Howard Moore and the tribute there. And
that was cool.
Man, that was there was not a dry eye in the building, and a lot of people watching that as well. And I didn't know that he was in that kind of shape, which is really, really sad. But it seemed to fuel Wisconsin. It definitely fueled the building. And anytime you go on the road, you know, especially for a team that's hungry, like having lost 6 of their previous 8, Wisconsin was going to give Illinois a good punch, and they did early on. But like you said, to be able to weather that storm, to bounce back, you just wondered. I sat there wondering after Wisconsin was up 9 in the early goings. And again, the kind of day that it was at Wisconsin, like, I don't know, this might just be one of those where things go Wisconsin's way and the momentum is on their side, and just it felt like maybe they should have won that game, right, type of thing. It was their day to win, but Illinois made sure that flipped, and DeMass getting going was a huge deal. And, man, he had quite a show to put on, not only for his own contingent that came out from Waupun, Wisconsin. Am I saying that right?
I don't know. Waupun or Waupun? I would say Waupun.
Either way.
Yeah.
But family, friends, people from his high school. And I didn't realize this until he told us afterwards that his last game in high school was at the Kohl Center. They lost in the state championship game.
Oh, wow.
So that was a little bit of a full circle moment to go back there, go against the Badgers, and put up 31 and just have one heck of a showing, closed it down the stretch. Every time Wisconsin in the second half, where, like you said, Illinois was chasing early, but in the second half, Illinois was up and Wisconsin kept trying to make little runs to flip it, and just seemed like Marcus had a big shot for every one of their like little, like, oh, we're going to try to take it. He's like, no, you're not. I'm going to hit this turnaround jumper. I'm going to ISO Tyler Wall and drive him left hand finish. And it was just, it was a show. It was a lot of fun to watch.
And the pass he had, kind of the, you know, he jumped in the air and threw
behind
it
the back
around Wall or whomever that was to. Who was that? Was that Harmon that caught it and dunked? It doesn't matter. It was just that. I'm telling you, and I tweeted this out after the game, I can't imagine how awesome Marcus did. That, I swear to you when I say this, Derek, that day may have been the best day of his life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to be able to go home, and I don't know the whole story. I don't think Wisconsin recruited him.
Out of high school, no. They didn't offer him. I know that. I don't know if they took a look or not. But and then in the portal, they had some conversations. But
it wasn't anything strong. It
wasn't anything to the point of getting him to visit or anything like that. I did mention, I mentioned to Kyle last week that it was interesting. He was at one of their NIT games last year before he was in the portal. So some people were like, oh,
here we go.
Is this signs of what's to come? Now, when you analyze it, it's he's not really exactly what they needed.
Amen.
And then AJ Storr on the flip side, really good player, having a great year for Wisconsin. The mass prototype is more of what Illinois needed versus if Illinois just brought in AJ Storr. So both teams got what they needed, but yes, like I'm sure today or watching it on Saturday, there's Badgers fans like, oh boy, he's making us pay for missing this one.
Yeah, and Marcus is the last person I would ever think that would be vindictive. Like, I doubt he went in there with, you know, this hatred of the Badgers. I'm sure he's more like, look, I'm just going to prove to them that they messed up with me coming out of high school, and they also messed up with me in the portal, and probably more so the latter, because, look, he went to SIU, all right? I'm a Saluki. They're number one in my heart. I'll always look at that as the best college there ever is, but that said, I understand SIU is not competing with a lot of the big wigs in the Big Ten. So the fact that really nobody else was offering Marcus DeMask, I doubt he looks at Wisconsin with a hateful eye. But certainly to be able to do that and to do it in his home state in front of family, in front of friends, and to just kind of, you know, in a way, kind of say, hey, you know, just FYI, I'm the guy that can score 30 on you at the Kohl Center. So, you know,
just from an hour down the road.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just by the way, I just want to throw that out that I'm able to do this. I just can't imagine the family having a better day. To a much smaller level with my kids playing high school, they showed a picture of his dad and he gave like a fist pump after one of those buckets. I've had one of those, right? And I know that feeling that it puts goosebumps down your whole body when your son or your daughter do something like that. And you're just like, oh, it is just unbridled joy is what it is. And when I saw that, I got goosebumps watching that. And I just thought, man, what a cool story for Marcus DeMask to be able to go back and to do what he did and just have one of the best games that he can play. I mean, I know that Florida Atlantic game was amazing, and he's had others that have been really good this season. But I can't imagine there's a better feeling than what Marcus DeMask and his family had on Saturday. And I did see the quote that he said, well, there'll be a lot of Wisconsin, there'll be a lot of my friends and family that are switching those Illinois shirts back out for Wisconsin gear tomorrow. Yeah. But for one day, they were rooting on the orange and blue, and that had to be really cool.
Well, on that note, there was a little bit of a back and forth between a Wisconsin reporter or columnist up there, the Milwaukee Journal Star, talking on the note of DeMask and just kind of the angst about Wisconsin fans giving Wisconsin flack for not recruiting him. And I'll have to pull up the exact tweets, but Dan DeMask, Marcus's dad, did say that as a lifelong Badger fan, he did at least throw that out there. So that one of the things that the columnist claimed was that Illinois gave him $500,000 to go to Illinois, and Marcus said that's not true. And Dan was kind of telling him to check his facts, but that, you know, as a lifelong Badger fan, that, you know, he's been pulling for Wisconsin, but to keep it, I don't know, respectful or whatever, or just do your homework type of thing. Keep it professional. But yeah, the family. And Marcus had that line, and he even was smiling to us. Like, they told him, you know, they gladly put on the orange today, but they would never wear it again. So that was certainly cool. And Lon, what's crazy is, and you had probably the best view of anybody on Marcus DeMask as a college player. And we talked, I remember talking during the offseason or right when he committed, and just kind of your thoughts on him. And we agreed that he was going to be probably a really, really nice complimentary piece to Illinois, not a star, not a guy that's going to put up 19 points a game in the Big Ten. When you look at his conference stats this year, offensively at the very least, if not just completely on the whole, are better than what he put up in the Missouri Valley during league play last year. I wrote it up today for my story. So in the Big Ten, in conference play, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists per game, shooting 49% from the field, 39% from three. That three-point mark has really gone up.
It has.
Since some early season struggles. Hit 4 in Madison on Saturday, the most he's hit in a game this season.
More proof that if you're from Wisconsin, balls go in at Wisconsin. Because they true. Seems That's like true. They never miss there.
That's a good call. Last year in Missouri Valley play, 16 points, 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shot 43% from the field, 35% from three.
That's unreal. And I know he was – listen – little bit different last year in the sense that he was double teamed a lot.
Of course.
And if he wasn't double teamed, I can recall a game against Drake where they put basically a sixth man. They started the sixth man that game just to, because he was like maybe 2 inches taller than DeMask. He was athletic. He couldn't score to save his life, but Drake knew that they'd be okay on that end. They had this kid. He literally, that was his game of his life. All they said was, you just go out there, and from the moment DeMask gets on the court, you're within 1 foot of him. And what they would do is, right before a TV timeout, I mean, you would think this is the star player with 4 fouls. Right before a TV timeout, or a media timeout, I should say, they would pull that kid for the media timeout, and he'd be back on the court to start the. And I'll never forget thinking, watching that game, and it was frustrating because DeMask didn't hardly do anything, and Drake won that game big. But I remember thinking, man, this has got to stink for Marcus, you know. And then other games, he's just flat out double teamed, where he does the booty ball here and sometimes can get away with it because Illinois has so many other weapons. At Southern, he wasn't necessarily able to do that. And so they could have a guy guard him perimeter, and then if he came low, they'd switch off on him on another big guy. So I think his junior year was his best year at SIU. I mean, you know, in terms of probably numbers and such, I'd have to look. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching him more as a sophomore and junior and just incredibly impressed that, A, we got him, and why is this kid playing at SIU? And I'm glad he is. And then watching him his senior year and thinking, boy, it's a real struggle for him this season because of everybody doing what they're doing. And sometimes, Derek, if you're not just an all-out athlete, you can be shut down. If the other team, if that's all they want to do, the key for then for your team is to figure out a way to beat that other team, because now you should have an advantage because they're putting all their eggs in one basket to shut you down. Now you should have other guys that can step up and win games. And you'd think with Lance Jones, you'd think with other guys, Xavier Johnson, that Southern could have done that, but they didn't. That was really frustrating. So, but I had no idea. None. I knew he could play at the Big Ten level. But if you think that I thought he was going to do what he did this season, you're crazy. I did not see it. I saw him more of a role, 8 points. I didn't see him playing that many minutes. I mean, I just thought with everybody coming in, he would be one of those guys that would be maybe sixth man, And then as it went on, it was apparent that he was going to be a starter. I still didn't think that he would do what he's done. Nobody did. I don't even know.
At this level, yeah.
I don't even know if Marcus thought he could dominate like this. But I'm seeing things this year that I didn't necessarily see for 4 years at SIU. And maybe it's just that, you know, we get better as we go, right? Mm-hmm. Until you reach an age where you don't. And then you go downhill in a hurry. Believe me. Then it's the Toby Keith. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was. But, you know, he's a strong kid. He's his fifth year in college. He's smart. He knows how to get buckets. He's not, he won't athletic you, but like you said, he takes wall left-handed. He does these little pump fakes. He's just a fun guy to watch. Mm. And at the end of the day, you're like, he did what? And it's incredible. And I'm so proud of him because I know I was excited to see what a Saluki and someone in the Valley would look like in the Big Ten. And I know Brad Underwood has said those are perfect guys for the Big Ten because they're older guys. By then, they're stronger. They've played tough defense. I mean, the Valley plays good defense. So I think those guys are more ready than you think to make a step up, if you will, to like a Big Ten team.
Well, you're seeing it in the league this year, man. With him, with Lance Jones, mm-hmm. with Rink Mass. There's some good ones throughout the Big Ten on some real competitive teams. All those teams right now, as of right now, would be double bye, as you know, obviously Purdue and Illinois, but Nebraska has made itself into a double bye squad as of right now, and Mass has played a big part of that. So, yeah, I thought Damask would be a starter just because I knew how they talked about him, how the staff did, and hearing Thomas walk up type of things talked about in terms of what Brad saw out of him. But you never know like how much offense is going to be run through him. I just thought he'd be a steady player who through over the course of a season, you could rely on him to be pretty consistent as in terms of his outputs and wouldn't, you know, maybe falter like freshman previously, or you know, we saw the inconsistencies of RJ Melendez and some of those type of things. I knew that he'd bring a steadiness to him. I had no idea. I knew he was good in the mid post.
Steadiness is perfect.
Right.
That's a perfect word.
Good passer too. I knew he was good with his back to the basket when he had matchups, but I didn't know that was going to be the essence of Illinois' offense. Like that was going to be essentially what they're running and trying to get on every time down. So
that's cool.
I'm sure they've learned about it throughout. I don't necessarily believe that this was something the staff fully knew how much they'd be playing booty ball. I knew it was going to be an option, and to their credit, they've built a system around him and around the talent they have, and then they've just continued to double down on what is really, really worked. So, man, he's going to be, and we'll talk about Senior Day coming up, but just in general, one of my thoughts going into Senior Day is that, because a lot of them are transfers, right? Outside of Coleman. Right.
So it's kind of a weird Senior Day.
It is.
It's almost like you had yours last year at your previous school, and Gary A., you know, he's had
five
six different.
Yeah. I did see that Luke Goody's going to go through Senior Day ceremonies because he's going to graduate with the Gies College of Business degree. So
what a – that kid, man. He's going to have things figured out in life. I can promise you that.
I just think that what I was getting – sorry, I'll pass the baton back to you after I mentioned this. Just the way that Brad, with Terrence's development and where he's currently at, and obviously the accolades that he's been able to bring in and should have, at least based on paper, what he's done this year, but then Marcus to have this type of season. As they go back in the portal, Illinois continues to show that you come to Illinois and – we'll get the most out of you and more than you've had to your career. I mean, that's been the example with Terrence. It's been the example with Marcus. And I know that Quincy's kind of fallen off a little bit, but you can't argue with those first two.
I got three quick things for you before we take a break. What does that loss do to Wisconsin?
They've now lost 7 of 9. They still have to play at Mackey.
Ooh.
I'd have to see what the updated bracketology is, but I wouldn't be surprised if they fall from a 5 seed to a 6 seed.
Okay.
The net still has them like 23rd, so they're not face planting or on the bubble.
That's surprising to lose that many games and to not really have the kind of fall you feel like you would have.
Mm-hmm. They have finally fallen to a 6.
Yep.
6 which seed. Is where I want to be. Great. Everything.
Well, why not root for the 3 seed now?
Everything comes up Badgers. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Number two, Not that Terrence Shannon needs to show you anything more to be able to play at the NBA level. That first 10 minutes of that game, or I'm sorry, after Wisconsin went on their run and Shannon went on his own run, not Illinois, Terrence Shannon went on his own run, step back threes, moves in the lane, you know, 15-foot jumpers, you know, elevating over guys that were playing good defense on him at the time. What did that show you? I can guarantee you the Kohl Center was giving him plenty of reasons to be motivated and plenty of, you know, whatever. And for him to just do what he did in that stretch, wow.
Yeah, they hit him with a lot of no means no chance. I don't know, you know, you get close to the floor, you never know exactly what he's hearing.
Right.
But, yeah, I went back the night before the game and I was writing up my preview. I watched the first half of Illinois-Wisconsin from last year at the Kohl Center. And, oh, by the way, if anybody had forgotten, Illinois through the first 13 minutes had 9 points. It was 13-9. It was just a brutally ugly basketball game. And Terrence Shannon did not look like – I don't even know if he had a bucket.
No, I don't think he did.
Didn't even look like the same player that we currently see in, as far as assertiveness, confidence, even just looks like he's taking his body to another level. Not that he wasn't strong last year, because he was, but man, he's just in a different mode of being comfortable in that alpha. And yeah, the pull up threes have been great. The ability to get downhill has always been there. And then now his defense has really come back around. When he first got reinstated, he was struggling pretty hard on defense. I thought we continue to spotlight that with Illinois, because even, you know, give up 83 to Wisconsin and didn't help your metrics. But AJ Storr had a tough time, I think, against Shannon for the most part. I think that Shannon did a good job with him. And over this couple weeks stretch, I feel like Terrence is a real disruptor defensively for whoever he's checking at the very least.
Would agree 100%. I know somebody texted in that it's whopping. I thought I had heard that once. That I think it was when he went to SIU. I remember that. Kyle mentioned, hey, Lon, was this you, Kyle, typing?
No.
Oh, okay. So a different Kyle.
Like, you guys haven't let me talk yet, so I'm going to text
in. I'm just going to text in the show. Kyle said he went to the game on Saturday. It's the only second road Big Ten game I've ever been to. The best part was at the end of the game, seeing the joy on Marcus's face running the hallway of Kohl Center celebrating with his family. It has to be. I got one more for you, though, Pipes. But he said Illinois is going to need a few transfers next year. Lon, is Xavier Johnson ready to come up? Hey, pull the trigger. 217, Marcus's dad's best day was probably the day he was born, but up to that point, the fist bump spoke to all the dads that were watching. It's true. It's bridal joy. Agree 100%. I went on a little trip to Florida. I got to tell you real quick about it. It was probably the most unvacation trip I've ever spent.
Really?
But the most productive trip I've ever spent.
Oh, man.
And you can tell, Lon's getting older. He doesn't just crash the beach bars anymore. The weather was terrible. I mean, not terrible, but it was not. The sun didn't come out one time.
Oh, man.
That's why I'm still as pale as ever when I got back. But I drove to Orange Beach, Alabama, because I thought I went there last year to kind of celebrate my brother's memory a little bit and kind of sit there and just take it all in. So I thought, you know what? I'll do that again, Lance. I'll go down to Orange Beach. We'll make this our thing. This will be our March or late February kind of spring break thing. Well, I went down there the first night and I watched the Illinois game against, who did we beat?
That would have been
Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I watched the Minnesota game there. And then the next morning I thought, no, I'm not getting the vibes here. So I drove down the coast and I went into like Pensacola Beach, and there's a stretch from Pensacola Beach to Navarre, Florida, that is no homes. There's no homes. There's maybe 3 or 4 condominiums. That's it. It's just you and sand and the water. And I took that drive, and I think it's 35 miles an hour, and I was driving like 20. I was that dude, right? And then if somebody would come up, I'd pull over. I'd let them go by. I'm like, I am not in a hurry today. I drove all the way past Panama City Beach that day and just kind of took in Florida a little bit. Saw the sights, saw the different places. Destin is way too crowded. We all know that. Panama City Beach is way too crowded. I missed spring break by like a week, thank God. Now, that wouldn't have been Lon saying that 10 years ago. And then I settled in Port St. Joe, which was an area that I've really been wanting to check out. And Friday night, went and watched a band, actually met a realtor and met with her Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to just kind of get to know the area. Not ready to buy a house by any means.
Oh, no, he's gone. This is what he's doing.
So
Cut him off.
I'm telling you right now, this is my last show. No, I'm kidding. But so I did all that, and then it leads to this story, which was awesome. So Saturday, I find my way back to a cool rib place on Port St. Joe, the main street there. They're the only one I can find that has Big Ten Network. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the game, and there's people coming in and out, you know, and all of a sudden, a group of four come in, and I notice the guy has a Wisconsin hat on. And this is when Wisconsin was up early. So they come in, and they're kind of standing behind me. It's a really small place, and then out back, it opens up. And the guy looks at me. In fact, the guy that owns it used to kick for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And he's a cool guy, 35. I visited with him a lot. I'm one of those guys, you know, that know everything about the restaurant when I'm leave. The Wisconsin guys don't know that whole, that group, those two couples don't know I'm an Illini fan. I've just got the game on. I don't have any Illinois gear on. And I texted Tyler Underwood this story. I said, hey, I got to let you know this. There's no need to respond, but I just got to let you know this. So the guy, as he's walking away, goes, I'm telling you, he looked at the other guy and he goes, I'm telling you, I've said it all year. Illinois is overrated. So they go back and eat, right? They go back and eat. Well, they must have gotten... they were there the entire game, right? I was thinking maybe they snuck out the back or something. Well, the game ends. Lon's a few brews in now, and I notice they're still back there. I go to the bathroom, and I kind of spot them. So I go up to the lady at the front counter, and I said, you know the table back there with the two couples? She's like, yeah. I'm like, can you get them a drink and tell them it's from the overrated Illini fan up front? And she goes, I'll gladly do that. So she took him a drink. They never did come say hi or thank you or anything. I was like, take that. So I texted Tyler that, and I said, hey, I just want to let you know that you gave me a little bit of a nice pride thing today.
That's great.
I felt bad that I didn't have my Illinois gear on, but I didn't take any when I went down, even despite two games. It was kind of a rush. Andrew lost Tuesday night. I left at 5:30 Wednesday morning to drive down to the Panhandle. But it was just
funny.
You
probably wouldn't have heard that comment if you were wearing a bright orange shirt.
Probably not. He probably would have respected at least the idea that I'm a Illini fan.
Or he might have said it to your face.
Yeah. But then I wouldn't have bought him a beer. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I said, just get them four drinks from the overrated Illini fan. And so they never came up and said, I think he was embarrassed.
Man,
I think he was embarrassed.
You got him.
So, boom. And this is the guy talking crap, not even watching the game. Now, I know not everybody watches every second of every game like we, the geeks, we are. But it's like, come on. You don't even want to know what your team's doing?
Game, man. Nah, that's weird.
Kind of weird. But, yeah. So, just kind of made me feel good the rest of the day.
Should.
I was walking around kind of proud after that moment. Then I was like, dude, you just spent like $20 on Wisconsin fans. It was 20 worth. It was worth every penny. I'll put it that way. It was worth every penny to do it. So, yeah, that was a cool story. I had to get that out before I forgot it.
I like it.
So, yeah.
That's
and
pretty cool.
And I next week I'm closing on a house, and I'll be gone by probably March 20th.
All right. Fair enough.
So, that's cool. No, I got Andrew's baseball season coming up.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
By the way, it's beautiful today.
Very nice.
It's going to be nice probably all week. I haven't looked. Next week, he's got a game Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. What are the chances?
Wow.
What are the chances it's not 36 degrees and a 30-mile-an-hour wind? Piper remembers it oh so well.
Very, very well.
Oh, it's the worst.
I hope that's not what comes your way.
I know, but we've been so lucky.
Extremely.
There's got to be another...
footballs
or whatever. How do they ever say it?
I've got early
projections are some 60s next week.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I've got to bet with my wife that I've got to bet with my wife that it'll snow in March. I said yes. She said no.
I'm going with you.
History says that I should be right.
I'm going with you on this.
She's like, no, it's not going to snow in March. I'm like, it does like every year, does it not?
It seems like it. March has become, used to be February. And March now is the month that you just dread. But, man, we're off to a good start.
Mm.
So it was nicer here than it was in Florida.
That's insane.
That is crazy. Until the last day. I think Saturday was the night. It was like 73 and warm. Wasn't sunny. As I left at 7 a.m. to drive home yesterday, I drove in the sun the entire state of Florida. And I texted someone and said, hey, isn't that amazing? The sun's out now that it's welcoming me out of Or I guess telling me goodbye.
Did you finally break out the suntan lotion while you're driving?
I didn't even take any this time. No. I just didn't even take any. That's funny.
Speaking of dark clouds in Florida, Sonny Gray left today with a hamstring injury.
Well done on that.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's spring training time, and it's near baseball season, and it's time for the Cardinals to get hurt.
Top pitching option, yep.
Usually. I mean, Mac, you know, it was Chris Carpenter 1 year, it was Adam Wainwright another year, and then it was, I don't know, probably Jaime Garcia probably got hurt once.
Carlos Martinez.
Carlos. I mean, it just I'm sure Waka tore something, torn oblique or something. I mean, it's just, hey, I'm sorry about this. This is the baseball gods. We apologize, but remember that contract we signed years ago? We have to take one starter from you every spring training. So you got to pick who it is, and obviously they wouldn't pick Sonny Gray. And look, he had tightness in his hamstring. I get that, just getting up. So he's about my age, though, is the problem. So I'm starting to worry that these injuries might – they may have a lot of those, well, we just needed to get Sonny a day. We needed to give Paul a day. Because they're old, right?
Yeah.
You're not 22 anymore when – anything works for you. Nothing ever hurts. And then as you get older, and I know these guys aren't my age, but things just start hurting. Bones crack. You'll be walking and all of a sudden you'll give, your right ankle will give out. And you're like, what the hell was that? This is called old age. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of days given to a lot of these Cardinals players.
Mm.
I talked way too much.
Maxwell says, don't forget your boy, Jack Flaherty. Yep, that would be a...
The one guy that challenged injury. Arbitration every year he was with the Cardinals. He never settled. I think one time.
Enjoy Detroit, buddy. All right. It's a nice, long, near 40-minute segment to welcome Lon back to the show. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. Talk more about Illinois' win over Wisconsin and then, of course, what they have coming up tomorrow night. A big one. On Peacock at 6 p.m. against the Purdue Boilermakers. Want to get Kyle's thoughts on the win over the weekend as well.
Let's go.
To your text as we go along. Stick with us for all of that. This is The Drive.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And I'm Luke Goody from your men's basketball team. Steve, I have a question.
Shoot!
We've talked about Sony, but I know you have LG and Samsung too. Aren't they all kind of the same?
Ah, that's a tough one. Samsung is famous for their bright, colorful picture and the frame TV.
They look like art, right? What about LG?
Okay, Sony invented OLED, but LG perfected OLED manufacturing. That efficiency makes LG the number one selling OLED TV in the country, and their build quality is excellent.
Yeah, they're really flat too. So, why Sony?
Sony makes movies, cameras, monitors. Accurate image is crucial. Colors, skin tones, contrast, motion handling are just some of what Sony does better. Sony buys panels from Samsung and LG and improves them with their own video processing.
Wait, a Sony might have an LG screen?
Yeah, or even Samsung. You've heard how a great coach can take your team and beat his?
I get it. Sony can use other guys' parts and still make a winning product?
All to get that red hair just the right shade and no blur on the swish.
We all have a mission in life. Something that drives us. To explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Hi, this is Amanda Jean, the founder and planner of Inspire Your Wedding and Events. After the big yes, are you daydreaming about the big I do? Join us for premier, interactive, immersive, inspirational wedding showcase to bring together vendors and couples from all over Central Illinois for your big day. Come away with ideas and vendors that will make your wedding one of the most inspiring days of your life.
Save the date on Saturday, March 23rd at the historical and unforgettable Orpheum in downtown Champaign.
For complete details, visit inspireyour.com. That's inspireyour.com.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Urbana Park District needs you this summer. Crystal Lake Family Aquatic Center is now open, and a few more lifeguards are needed. No experience, no problem. Aquatic staff will train you and get you certified. This is a great job for those 15 years of age or older and adults looking for a side gig or seasonal job. To apply, go to urbanaparks.org and fill out an application. If you have questions, call the Park District, 217-367-1544. Urbana Park District, you belong here. urbanaparks.org.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's continue to talk Illini basketball as we roll along. We'll hit on the seeding picture, both for the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament. With the win at Wisconsin, Illinois clinched a double bye. They would have gotten one anyway. They needed either to get one more win in the final three games or have Michigan State lose one of their final three games. Both happened on Saturday.
Nice.
Michigan State challenged Purdue late. That was kind of the last gasp, I think, for Illinois as far as a share of the Big Ten title. Technically, it wouldn't be completely out of range if Illinois wins out, and then you'll need Wisconsin to go into Mackey and beat Purdue. But crazier things have happened on the final
last
day.
Year, or was that last? No. When did the Iowa?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Nebraska beat Wisconsin in Madison. Yep.
We were sitting there at Andrew's basketball banquet. And I was the only one that was kind of keeping an eye on the game. And I'm like, there's no way that Rutgers is it Rutgers?
Nebraska.
No, Nebraska went into Wisconsin without their best player.
Bryce McGowan's was hurt, right?
Oh, you just said all that. I'm sorry. I was walking from getting water. And they win. So
Alfonso Verge was going off, but then he got like his fourth foul and sat for 10 minutes in the second half. And
I forgot about him. Good call on that. So Illinois in the Big Ten. So they're the two seed. For the
I
most
said
part.
Alonzo. Sorry.
Alonzo.
My bad, Verge.
That game is usually what, around 5, 5.30?
I think 5.30 on Friday the two seed will play.
And that's a pretty solid start time because they do the sessions. So there'll be two games in the morning. Illinois will be the first game of the night session, meaning that thing will start at 5.30, in other words. So I know sometimes if you're planning, a game can run long, obviously, if you're going to go to the second game, but Sorry. All right. So that would put them at a 5:30 slot. And then on Saturday, you would be like the 2 o'clock?
2:30.
2:30. Okay. And then, if of course, get to Sunday, it's 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock tip on CBS, and you'll see a lot of commercials. And then the pairing show. All right. That's so right. A 2 seed. Now, Kyle, who would be Illinois' opponent? Do we know? Is it Iowa?
The 7 seed, it really is going to depend on how this week goes for the teams, but the 7 seed is almost certainly going to be Michigan State or Iowa, and they'd be playing a variety of different 10 seeds. But the favorite in that matchup before Illinois would be Michigan State or Iowa, most likely.
Who would you rather play?
I think Illinois should probably rather, if you're picking as far as a resume, Michigan State would be a quad one win.
Oh.
On a neutral, Iowa would be a quad two. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, the only way that Iowa gets the 6 and Michigan State gets the 7 is if Iowa beats Illinois.
Yes.
In the regular season finale. So you don't want to lose that game. So I think essentially you want to play Iowa, then play Iowa again. Beat Iowa, then beat them again.
That'd be strange, but did that just happen?
It was set up to happen in 2020.
Yes, with the COVID.
Yes, you played them in the final game of the regular season. You beat them, and then Iowa won their first game, and then they were going to play Illinois. I think, do they still have another game to win?
Iowa has one game left.
I mean, the year of the year of when COVID canceled the Big Ten tournament.
Oh.
When you were 12. I think they only had to – I think they
only
played
had to
Thursday.
Win yeah. one game.
Yeah.
And they did win it, didn't
and
they?
And they won. And then you had the practice of your life.
That's right.
And then – yeah,
I didn't, but they
well,
did.
You yeah. didn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, Illinois
I
did.
I could have.
I still want that book. All right. So that's kind of the path. Something about playing Michigan State. Like I try to – you know what I do immediately when I thought of that? Like who would I rather play? Do I want to play Walker or Perkins? And Perkins has had his day against you. But man, Walker can go off.
Walker is not healthy right now. That's the one thing.
But he wasn't healthy the game against Illinois and still went for pretty good clip, didn't he? And then Hogard
hit him for 23 in the last game.
Hogard kills Illinois. He could have made that Illini killer team.
Yeah, well, he did. He definitely did. All right, now, Pipes, last week before I left, we went over, well, that was the day before when you were gone. Kyle and I went over the reason that Lon wants to be a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. Well, now that you've beaten Minnesota and Wisconsin, you're done. It's not happening. You're not going to be a 6 seed. You could lose out. You could go 0 for your last 3, and that includes round 1 of the Big Ten, and you're not going to probably drop to
probably
a 6.
Probably a 5, yep.
I'd be shocked. So my question to you is then, I'd rather obviously be a three than a 6.
Mm-hmm.
How does Illinois get the 3 seed?
I think this one tomorrow night is the easiest way to put yourself in real position to get there, because the one thing really lacking on Illinois' resume still is that big
win,
top-notch win. And a lot of the teams, I was running through it when I wrote my article that I put out today, a lot of the teams that are ahead of you have multiple top 10, top 20 type wins against teams that are in that range in the net. And as of right now, Illinois' highest ranked win, they won at home against number 22, Michigan State. Now I'm referencing the net, not the AP poll.
Got it.
22 in the net, Michigan State, 23 in the net, Wisconsin. Then you go down to FAU's 35. So Purdue is number 2 in the net. That'd be a quad 1A type win. And that would then put you 6-5 in quad 1 games. As of right now, another thing you really need to be rooting for is Maryland. They just took a terrible loss at home to Indiana. They are right on the fringe of dropping out of the top 75, which would take away a quad 1 win from you, but probably even worse, add a quad 3 loss to you, because that has flipped to where when you originally lost to them, it was a quad 3 loss. Recently, in recent weeks, that's moved to where they're a quad 2 loss. They'd slide back to a quad 3 if they finish outside the top 75. So I think that's important, because the committee looks at who has bad losses, and that would definitely be one. And then, of course, the counting game of how you stack up with quad 1 wins against other teams. So that's one thing that would be really important. But if you beat Purdue and then you get another quad 1 opportunity at Iowa and then potentially another 1 or 2 at the Big Ten tournament – I think that would be part of the recipe. Of course, it's going to matter what happens in front of you.
Sure, sure.
And on that note, if you look at bracket matrix and the projected teams ahead of you right now, I know the three line has like Duke, Alabama, I believe Baylor as well. And there's one more I'm missing. And then Creighton right now is ahead of you as well on the four line. So
Kansas is the other three.
Kansas.
Oh, that's right.
Even though Kansas in the net drop below you, they've lost back-to-back games. They just lost to Baylor over the weekend. They're 18th in the net. Illinois is 15th. But they do have some better wins than what Illinois has on their resume. So long-winded answer is, I think you definitely need to beat Purdue. I think that's the easiest, cleanest path to really challenge for the three seed. If you don't do that, you probably need a real run in the Big Ten tournament.
Okay.
Obviously, then beating Iowa. But I think the easiest way to say it is you beat Purdue and then probably beat Iowa, and then you're going to the Big Ten tournament, maybe already on the three line, and see where you go from there.
But if you lose to Purdue, I know you just said that. If you lose there, win at Iowa, let's say win one game in the Big Ten, I don't think you're getting to a three,
you're cutting
right?
It close. It would depend on what some of these other teams do, okay. But most likely not, I would say. Okay. I would say you probably fall short.
P.S., Maryland only has one game left in the Big Ten, and it's at Penn State Sunday. And Penn State has played pretty well at home this season.
They have.
They've played pretty well anywhere, really. I mean, I think they've had a decent season, but yeah, you look at some of these losses. How about back-to-back losses to Northwestern and Indiana at home for Maryland?
Not good. A banged-up Northwestern team. Kyle, wow. I didn't know this. Kyle told us off the air. I'm sure a lot of people do, but Matthew Nicholson may be out for the year.
They're a big guy, huh?
It hasn't been announced how long he's out for, but it looked bad.
Okay.
And I don't think he's playing tomorrow.
Was Langborg out in their last
game,
too?
He was out, yep.
Man. And obviously,
and Boo Booey hurt his hand, too. It's like their whole lineup's hurt.
Yikes.
Wow. That does hurt them. Where are they at? Bubble?
Bracket Matrix says they're an 8 seed.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Can you imagine, though? And if that many guys are hurt, I wonder if they'll penalize them.
You wonder. I think, what was the game? They won one recently that kind of seemed like that was maybe the last one they really need. I get they won at Maryland. Which really helped them. They still have at Michigan State, Minnesota at home. If they were to lose both those games, I guess you never know.
I guess, yeah.
They might go into the Big Ten tournament sweating it a tad, but
I mean, they'll lose at Michigan State, right? If they're this banged up.
You'd think.
And then try to get that victory against Minnesota, like as mentioned.
Although, if we're doing
Michigan State loses that one, yeah, they might not make the tournament.
Wow. True.
So, who all's making it from the Big Ten?
Nebraska's in now.
Nebraska. They've done so, there's enough. Three that are definitely in. And well, Northwest, there's, probably Northwest.
There's four because Wisconsin's definitely
in. Oh, I'm sorry, Wisconsin. Duh.
Yeah, although, it'd be something if, say, they lose at home to Rutgers, then lose at Purdue, and then they go into the Big Ten tournament having lost, like,
10
nine
of
their last 11 or something like that.
I mean, what? I'd be like, you don't deserve to be in.
Yeah. With losses, they've lost at Michigan. Ugh. They lost at Indiana.
How bad is the Michigan loss? Is that like a quad 15?
It is. Yeah, it really is.
like there's never been someone that's been that bad.
Somehow it's only a quad 2, but it should be a quad 47.
Sorry, any chance you get to rip on Michigan, you got to take it, right? Jeez. You have to.
It's too easy.
Man, I tell you, the Big Ten is just not that impressive. How much does that start? I'll start with you, Kyle. Has Illinois done enough that you're not worried how good the Big Ten is for them, for Illinois to do some things in the NCAA tournament? In other words, are you not going to sit there and base the fact that against a bad Big Ten team, they finished second in the stand or a Big Ten schedule, they basically finished second in the standings and had a pretty good run through the Big Ten? Or does that worry you a little bit, like, gosh, we haven't really played? And the teams we did play, Marquette, we lost at home.
At Tennessee,
which is that's obviously a really good team. What do you think,
FAU,
Kyle?
Doesn't look as good. I've thought about it.
No, I
got to
give Mark from Arthur credit because he was on that early.
I have thought about that, and it's definitely something that am a little worried about. Like, I'm not going to apologize for finishing second in the Big Ten, but
no, I agree with that.
The stretch that Illinois's been on here the last 2 months, especially as they've kind of shifted their profile towards this historically incredible offense and a defense that really has struggled, they've been able to beat the Marylands and the Minnesotas and a struggling Wisconsin and those types of teams. And they just haven't really had a measuring stick game against a team that they'd see in a round of 32 or a Sweet 16 of the tournament. That's why I think tomorrow, more so than just the opportunity for Illinois to obviously pick up a big resume win, it's going to tell me a lot about if this current formula can really compete in the top of the country. Because all of a sudden you see a Purdue team who could win a national title. Can you just outscore them and beat them and compete with them? And we haven't really had a test like that.
I agree.
Since the first Purdue matchup, and obviously you didn't have Terrence Shannon. And so it's really, you haven't had it all Big Ten play where you've played a team that you know is going to be a national contender.
Can you look? I think the Wisconsin game is a good one to look at as kind of an NCAA title, or not title, that'd be awesome. Kind of an NCAA-ish game.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Purdue tomorrow night.
Yeah. Of course.
Both teams still playing for something. Purdue wants to win the Big Ten outright. They don't want Illinois. They don't want to share anything. And you can still share, right, if you beat them and they lose to Wisconsin, as you mentioned.
Yep.
So that said, it's not like Purdue's coming out and playing their starters for 10 minutes and getting them out. That'll be an interesting game tomorrow.
Purdue wants to win it outright, I would imagine. I'd imagine they've been made aware of Coleman Hawkins' Twitter game after the games when they lose.
And especially if you're probably going to be a 4 or a 5, and you're going to run into a 1.
Yeah.
So this is your chance to see.
Kind of like a Sweet 16
caliber
battle for them.
How you doing against a 1?
I think the pecking order of the 1 seeds matter a lot, too.
I never thought of that.
Not that Purdue's going to. Can they pass up UConn depending on something? I don't know.
They already are past them.
They're the number one overall?
They're the number one overall seed,
holding
according
that,
to most bracketology.
Holding that down is going to mean a lot to them. So just the way that the path would set up, they'd get the most favorable of the draws when you look at the lowest 2 seed, and it matters as far as the 4 and 5s too. So
no doubt.
This will matter a lot for them. I agree and echo what Kyle has said, the fact that Illinois hasn't played in a while. Like, part of it's not their fault. They haven't gotten a lot of opportunities against NCAA tournament teams, but it's still kind of like, I even wrestle with it. Since Shannon came back, they've beaten 2 tournament teams. They've beaten Nebraska and they've beaten Wisconsin. Now, they lost to Michigan State on the road. They lost on the road at Northwestern. Games that are tough, so I'm not knocking them too much, but it is one of those where you want a measuring stick game. You want to see this team beat someone that really, really matters on your resume. And
right.
Then also, you know, how is this defense going to hold up against one of the very few teams that can actually score more efficiently, or has scored more efficiently than you all season, which is Purdue. So,
be fun.
This will mean a lot. It's funny, and we could talk more about this in the next hour, but maybe it goes the other way. Like, years where the Big Ten was thought to be good.
Yeah.
And then they flop. So maybe this is the year where it's like, oh, the Big Ten stinks. What's that? There's 3-4 teams in the Sweet 16. I doubt it, but there have been years like that with the Pac-12 where everybody's like, oh, the Pac-12 is horrible. Why do they have 4 teams in the Sweet 16? But
I like it. I like that idea.
I'm not buying that big picture on the whole, but I do think that Purdue and Illinois are obviously still capable of going on a little run. And also, you know, Nebraska's going to be a tough out too.
Amen.
If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. We're going to catch a break, talk more hoops. Maybe we'll start to dabble. Of course, we'll break it down really in depth tomorrow, but start to dabble in the matchup with Purdue tomorrow, 6 p.m. game, a huge one on the schedule for the Atlanta.
Let's go.
And anything else you want to hit on, hit us on the text line, 217-359-2255. We'll be back. This is The Drive.